difficult readings in our church here. We have the parable of the unjust steward. We'll have that unpacked for us on Wednesday night. Also, today we say goodbye to our vicar, Lawson Short. This will be his last Sunday among us. And following our 10:30 service, we'll have potluck dinner and a little fun after the potluck. And so it's been a good year. Glad he's on this side of heaven. And we pray God's blessings for Vicar Short in his journey to become a pastor in the Missouri Synod. A couple of words on our worship service today. Our opening hymn is number 504, Father Most Holy. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. After that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3. Setting 3, page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings manifold that you shower down upon us. Heavenly Father, many of the things that we place so much value in our world are fleeting and will let us down. Teach us today and always that your word is true and that your word lasts forever. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for us and for the forgiveness of sins. In his name, amen. Amen. Hymn 504.
Thank you.
page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
My wife, he will return the evil to my
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Be seated. The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Trinity is from 2 Samuel chapter 22. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely, and with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual appointments for the day. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager." And the manager said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil." He said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat." He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to thee, O Christ.
We speak together the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated.
Continue now with our hymn of the day, number 728, How Firm a Foundation, 728.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that will serve as the basis for our sermon this morning is our Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel chapter 22. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. Famous words. Words from the opening of Charles Dickens' classic, A Tale of Two Cities. Words that aptly describe for us the life of King David. For the life of King David is one of great faithfulness and godliness, yet one of great shame and vice. King David, he's a man we love, he's a man we loathe. For he was a great warrior, king, and man of faith, yet a great murderer, adulterer, and liar. During his reign, due to his faithfulness, God would bless him and Israel with their greatest years of prosperity and gave to them every blessing. Yet due to his unfaithfulness, God would bring disaster upon Israel through civil war by the hand of his own son Absalom. In the end, the life of King David is a picture for us of real Christian life, of real Christian blessing, of real Christian struggle, God's active word of law and his active word of gospel. And the words of our text from our Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel are words from King David's own mouth. They are words from King David's own mouth about his life. This is an excerpt from King David's Song of Deliverance. And today, in our text, King David confesses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. God, his ways are perfect. And David, throughout his life, knew, believed that God's word always proved true. When we say the word of the Lord proves true, that is to say that the word of the Lord, from the original text, is pure and refined, like gold having been set in a fire. Within God's word, there is no lie. And every word uttered by God to David, whether they are words of judgment or words of blessing, God's word, it always proves true. And that's not true just for King David. That's true for us as well. And we believe this. We know this. God's word teaches us this. Yet today in our text, from David's mouth, we are faced with some words which seem a little out of place. For David says, "With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you deal purely, and with the crooked you seem torturous." Now, is David here teaching us works righteousness? That if we're just more merciful and more blameless, then God will be merciful and blameless to us? No, he's not teaching us that we are saved by our works, but the word of the Lord proves true. It is most certainly true that if you are merciful to others, and if you are blameless before the sight of God's holy law, God will show himself merciful and blameless to you, but only if. See this word, if. It's only two letters long, yet there is no greater word of judgment or no greater word of sorrow. For this word seemingly offers to us everything and gives us nothing. It shows us all of God's mercy, grace, and blessing, but keeps it right outside of our reach. For God's word says, God's ways are perfect, and God demands that our ways be perfect as well. God demands that we are to be merciful to others and blameless before the sight of his law. for those who aren't, this is what God says. With the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. With the one whose way is crooked, with the one whose way is perverse, for the one who walks in any way contrary to God's law, God will show himself to be torturous. For the law demands justice for sin. For King David, and for us as well, our ways have been perverted and made crooked by sin. And sin, it is the source of all affliction in this world. For David confesses today that you save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. In our text, humble is a good translation, but this word for humble, it also has the meaning of afflicted. And David, he knew all about affliction. And some of his affliction, some of David's affliction, came from just sin being in this world, from the sins of others. For during his early life, for years, Saul had hunted him unjustly. Yet some of his affliction, the worst of his affliction, came from his own sin. For the word of the Lord proved true. When David had gone into Bathsheba and killed her husband Uriah the Hittite, the word of the Lord came to David through Nathan the prophet. And Nathan told David that his son would die. And he did. And Nathan told him that the sword would never leave his house. And it never did. In this world, in this life, sin, sins of others, our own sin, they afflict us and they humble us. Yet God, his ways are perfect. And he who works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, God takes our afflictions and uses them for good. He uses them for a holy purpose. God takes what is evil and uses it for good. For today in our text, God gives us a promise. He promises that to those who are afflicted by their sin, to those who are shown their sin and are humbled by it, to those who are brought to repentance, God promises to save them. Yet for those who are continually arrogant before God's word, who are haughty and have no need for repentance, for those who continually reject God's word unto death, God will bring them down, all the way down to hell. And that is why God allows affliction in our lives. We don't always know exactly what sin is causing our affliction. Maybe our affliction is being caused by just sin being in this world. Maybe our affliction is being caused by someone else's sin, or maybe our affliction is caused by our own sin. We don't always know. But we always know how God uses our afflictions. He uses our afflictions for a holy purpose to show us that we are, in fact, poor, miserable sinners. And he uses them to point us, not to ourselves, but to point us to his word. For the word of the Lord proves true. He uses them to point us to his promises. He uses them to point us to his ultimate promise, to point us to his son, Jesus. You see, in spite of all David's afflictions, and he had a number of them throughout his life, he was always able to rejoice because God's promises to him were his constant source of peace, hope, comfort, and joy. For the word of the Lord proved true. God kept all of his promises to David. For God had promised to David earlier in his life when David had wished to build a temple, a house for God, that instead God would build a house for himself. God promised that he would raise up from David an offspring, one from his own body and line, one who would build a house for God's name, and one whose kingdom and throne would be established forever. God promised to David salvation. Salvation and death for David, salvation from sin and death for us through his offspring, through God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And my friends, the word of the Lord, it proves true. For when all hope seemed lost for Israel, when Israel's line of kings had ended, and they were left without a king or without a hope, God raised up from the stump of Jesse a royal shoot. God raised up a king more powerful and more majestic than David himself, for he raised up a king who wouldn't just rule over Israel, but one who would rule over heaven and earth, and one who would establish the eternal kingdom of his church. God raised up a king more strong and mighty in battle than David ever was, for he raised up a king who could destroy our real enemies, who could destroy sin, death, and the devil forever. God raised up a king whose reign and throne would be established forever, who has reigned, who does reign, and who will always reign over all things. God raised up for us his son, Jesus, upon the cross. For you see, Jesus didn't come and establish his kingdom with the sword, but he came and established his kingdom by suffering the affliction and pains and sufferings that our sin deserved upon the cross. God, his ways are perfect, and Jesus perfectly walked the way of the cross, where he destroyed sin and death forever by his death. And having destroyed sin and death forever by his death, Jesus rose from the dead and established his reign and kingdom forever. For the word of the Lord made flesh proved true, and not even death could hold our Lord from rising again. Now our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our true King, lives and reigns over all things. He now rules over his church, and he now is your King, who is merciful and blameless towards you. You see, it is because of this promise of Jesus made to King David, now fulfilled in Jesus for you, that David was able to boldly confess that he was merciful, blameless, and purified. For he says today in our text, "With the purified you deal purely, and also, this God is my strong refuge, and he has made my way blameless." Jesus and his perfect ways, his perfect death and resurrection, that is what purified David from all of his sin and made him blameless before the sight of God's law and merciful to others. So too, it is Jesus' death and resurrection that purifies you from your sin, makes you blameless before the sight of the law, and now is why we are merciful to one another. Jesus, his death and resurrection is where for the forgiveness of sins is won, and now he delivers it through word and sacrament. For God, his ways are perfect, and the way that God has chosen to deliver to you his salvation is through holy baptism, through the preaching of his word, and through his body and blood. For God has purified you, he has washed you, cleansed you from all of your sin in holy baptism, and there he made you blameless before the sight of God's holy law. My friends, Jesus did all of this for you. And because he has been merciful and blameless toward us, so also now we too are merciful toward one another. You see, in the end, it was this promise of God made to David, that sustained him in the midst of all his afflictions, and for which David gave thanks throughout his whole life. And the same is true for us. It is in the promise of Jesus, in the forgiveness of sins which he so freely gives, that we are sustained in the midst of our afflictions and in which we rejoice, because the only true comfort that is always there, that lasts forever, is Jesus and his forgiveness and his life. So what can we do but along with David say, "For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" What other God out there has a mouth to speak? What other God out there's words always prove true? What kind of God is this, that he would freely save his enemies and call poor, miserable sinners his own? This God, he is your God, and there is no other. For Jesus alone is our God. He alone is our King. He alone saves us from our enemies, from sin, death, and the devil. He alone gives us true comfort in the midst of our afflictions. He alone makes us pure and blameless, and He alone offers and promises eternal life. You see, in God, in His perfect ways alone, did David, throughout his whole life, live, rejoice, and sing. And so we too, today in Jesus and His and in His forgiveness, do we all the days of our life live, rejoice, and sing. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue now our service with the offertory, page 193. Please stand.
Welcome in the name of our gracious and merciful God and the Word, which is true, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a Savior, faithful and true in Jesus, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
for the prayers of the church. Especially this day, we lay before our Lord, God, and Healer, Good Shepherd members Arlene Haydenfelt and Joyce Thompson, who continue to be hospitalized, and also the mother of Good Shepherd member Brent Stelick, Jeanette Stelick, in hospice care, whose departure seems near. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the royal priesthood, that they would forgive as they have been forgiven, show mercy as they have received mercy, and live as humble servants, clinging in faith to Jesus Christ, their Savior and Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Lord of the harvest, to fill his vineyard of grace with faithful workers, that his means of grace would be available to sinners in need the world over. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our synodical president, our district president, our circuit visitor, pastors and all pastors in Christ, vicars and soon to be vicars, that they would preach the gospel in its purity and administer the sacraments according to Christ's institution. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the strength to resist the temptations that assault God's children, especially the temptations to indulge in sexual immorality or to be overcome with the love of money, that they would repent where they have fallen prey to these temptations, and with God's help, strive to be chaste and content. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good government among us, that we might live in freedom and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in the midst of trials and tribulations at this time, that they would be delivered from every trouble and strengthened in their faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the Holy Supper of Christ's body and blood this day, that they would be strengthened and preserved in the one true faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. Page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing now the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Please stand as you're able. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the choral anthem.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Clint Poppy, pastor. At 9:30, join us for Sunday morning Bible study, followed by the 10:30 a.m. worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Let's go. This is your radio, your station.
KNNA 5.7 Lincoln, Nebraska.